Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
We honor you today. We thank you for your service, because freedom is not free. But blessed is the land whose God is the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up this nation to you. Father, the eagle. Lord, we first pray for every veteran today, every person that is serving and has served. We thank you, Lord, for them. We thank you for the call that you put within them to serve and to sacrifice for others. Lord, we ask that today and tomorrow, we know tomorrow's Veterans Day, but Lord, we ask that today that by your Holy Spirit, you'd minister special to them, Lord. Increase strength in them, Lord. Help them in their souls, in their minds. Heal them, Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of their heads, Lord. Not only the physical things, but also the emotion and the mind things, Lord, that have taken place and gone on. Heal them in the name of Jesus. We bless them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this nation, Lord. Father, in you we do trust. And we believe, Lord, that as we are going forth and continue to follow your plan and the plan for the ages, and as we pray and seek you and continue to move forth in the kingdom of your righteousness, advancing it, Lord, that your return is soon, but that we individually and corporately as a nation will fulfill the call that you have for us. We ask these things, we believe these things, and we declare these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your kingdom be exalted and your enemies be scattered. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Would you sit, please? You can be seated. Wow. God loves all people group. You know that? All around the world. I heard Kenneth Copeland say years ago, he was prophesying, he was talking about the Jews in Israel, and he said, you know, I chose the Jews. He said, but America chose me. That's strong. God does not forget. He remembers. And I'll just say this, there are things going on that we don't see right now, including in the government. And God is moving. So do not be afraid of all this stuff, because there's a bigger one. And let me just help you with this. No politician is our savior. Those authorities are set up by God, and God can function through authorities whether they want him to or not. If you don't believe me, go back through scripture and read about the high priest. When Jesus was moving, he prophesied just because he was the high priest, not because. I mean, think about, you go through the Old Testament. When the church was where it was supposed to be and living like they're supposed to and praying and seeking God, God will move. He will move. And he's moving in our nation. And I'm thankful for it. How about you? You say, well, we don't need freedom to preach the gospel. No, but Paul told us to pray for it. It's easier, and that's almost the words he used, to navigate the gospel through freedom. Yeah, we can preach the gospel and go to prison for it. Sure, but why? I'd rather just go home. Wouldn't you? I mean, I'm willing to go to jail for Jesus. But if I don't have to, just don't become lazy and don't preach. All right, we won't touch that. We'll move on. We're in a series right now called Teachable. And we're talking about being teachable. And last week we hit on a couple of things. Our main scripture is Proverbs 1, verse 7. That's kind of our golden text. The New Living Translation says this, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Alexander Pope said this, "Some people will never learn anything because they understand everything too soon." The Lord said this to me. He said, the Christian that is unteachable has declared that they are walking in the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's quite a powerful statement. Now, is that the goal? Yes, that is the goal, is to walk as our Master Jesus walked. But we need to be teachable. And how many have noticed that even though you're born again and you know you're righteous in your heart and you've maybe had a few years of renewal of the mind in your life and you're seeing more and more harvest out of the seed of the word in your life, that there's still this thing called flesh that you have? And Paul understood this, and so he understood it to the point that he said, every day I crucify my flesh. In other words, I make it subject to who I am on the inside. How many of you have noticed this? If you let the flesh go, it will take you places you don't want to go. Yeah, I mean, it just will. It'll absolutely take you on a trip, and at the end of it is called death. Amen? And there are Christians, many of them, who are genuinely born again, but they are totally controlled by the world around them and their natural fleshly desires. And to the fact that you, or to the point that you may not even realize they're saved. But have you ever done that? You're talking with somebody and they sound just like the world. And for me, I'm gearing up. You say, what do you mean? I'm gearing up to share Jesus with them, because they sound just like the world. And then I start breaking into, you know, the things of God and start breaking into sharing Jesus with them. And then all of a sudden their whole countenance changes and they're like, oh yeah, I'm born again. And I'm going, you could have fooled me. In fact, you did. What do I know? I know I have a convert, not a disciple yet. But what do I also know? I know it's probably somebody who's very frustrated in their faith. Because disciples are disciplined. They have structure and order in their lives. And that structure and order is birthed out of the revelation of who they are on the inside. And so life in Christ is what Faith Family Church is about, right? So we live from the inside out. In fact, the Holy Spirit was saying it prophetically through the song when Mark was singing. We don't work for a victory. We're working from one. See, I understand, I love the message of grace, but if your understanding of grace is I can do whatever I want and still make heaven, you don't understand it like you should. If your understanding of grace is that I'm working from a place of righteousness rather than trying to get one, then you understand it. Now, you can't earn salvation, but it has been earned for you by grace. But grace is not only undeserved, unearned favor, it is also empowerment of the Spirit to live from a place of resurrection. In other words, the old man, the sin self, the Adam man is dead, and I'm a new man now in Christ Jesus. And what has been implanted into me is what? It's the incorruptible, undying, death cannot touch it, already overcame all that hell had, life and living nature of God himself. His DNA is now in my spirit. See, what you see in me is just the outer shell. I am not a body. This is just the house I live in. That's it. These eyes are just windows that I see through to you. We are eternal. Did you know that I will never die? Like, oh, there's the false doctrine. Here it comes. I knew them Pentecostals. Those crazy people praying tongues, and they just think that, you know. No, I said I will never die. I can't. You say you can't? I've already passed from death. I'm just going to switch locations. And if it's before the Lord returns, I'll be back. Arnold Schwarzenegger's got nothing on me. Nothing. Nothing. Right? So in other words, when we're teachable and we are sitting and hearing the word of God, it's to transform us. We're to sit. When it's legitimately the scriptures being taught to you, There should be a reverence for the Lord in that. There shouldn't be this, I really like the worship, but. Or when it's the scriptures being taught, the personality who's teaching it doesn't matter. Sometimes we have, and even in the church world, I feel like, there are many good things that technology has brought us. But sometimes people are so taught to function out of their soul instead of their spirit. And God is really an emotion rather than a reality. Do you know I've laid hands on sick people, didn't feel an ounce of anointing, and they got healed? And I walked away going, how about that? You know, I didn't. There are other times I felt the anointing strong. And there are other times where I feel nothing. But what do I know? God's real, whether I feel him or not. And I can learn here and have instruction from the Word of God and have experience with the Lord in line with the Word of God. And I can know that he's with me and in me, and I can function out of that covenant, whether I feel like it or not. And that is a strong believer. Do you know you're walking in love the strongest when you don't feel like it? I just don't feel like being patient right now. That's because you're carnal. In other words, you're yielding to your natural rather than your spiritual. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the love of God is what? Patient, kind, all these things, right? So we can function from a place of principle, truth, depth, character, foundation that is a real place in the Spirit where we are born again from, and we can walk that out on a daily basis whether we feel like it or not. One of the greatest things that continues to be ingrained in me and that I learned a long time ago is the thing about faith is it's not feeling. The Baptists were taught this well. But Pentecostals, because, or Word of Faith, or just there are so many brands, I'm not going to even go through them all. But I'll just say this, those who believe and are not cessationists, they don't believe that God died with the apostles. Some people will get it, you know, when they're driving home. But they believe he still moves today and he's still God. Sometimes we can be so attached to our feelings that they're leading us instead of the resurrection within us and the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we've started to look at this and look at what it means to be teachable and what it means to be pliable in the hands of the Lord. Teachable by itself, as far as the word goes, it means apt and willing to learn. I'm always apt and willing to learn. And our foundation for these things are the scriptures. Last week we looked at 2 Timothy 3:14-16. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:23 this morning. 1 Peter 1:23. Peter says this about the scriptures. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Thank you, Lord. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Verse 24. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. What is all flesh? How many have had flesh that withered? You should see pictures of me 20 years ago. There's been withering. All my hair used to be brown. But now it's got some gray in it. At least I still have mine. Moving on. It says it falls away. Okay, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures for... And that word lives in you. Amen? The word of the Lord endures forever. In other words, there's always something in the word that you can learn. If you're open and teachable and pliable and apt and willing to learn, there's something in there that you will see that you didn't see before. See, Christianity is not just about rules and regulations. It's not just about I showed up on Sunday and then I showed up on Wednesday. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to get a perfect attendance pin. Church is designed to strengthen you and to help you grow spiritually so that you can go out and be salt and light wherever you are. Not so that you can, not that we can't pray for people, because we do, and we minister, that's part of our ministry, but so that you can pray for people. And people say, well, I'm too afraid to just go up to somebody and start praying for them. I'm not that kind of bold person. Actually, you are, but we just need to help you see it until you get there. So if you're not going to pray for them right next to them, at least kneel beside your bed before you go to bed and pray for your neighbor. At least begin to think about all the people. Make a list of all the people at work that irritate you and pray for them. Why? Because at least you're beginning to exercise faith. You're not letting fear and insecurity dominate you. You're beginning to step out and walk through and out who is in you. You're beginning to apply the truths to your life. See, I can't apply the truth for you. You may know a Christian that you think, man, they really know the Lord. There's a reason why. It's not because they're so special and they have this special place that you can never go. It's because they've applied themselves to know him. Jesus said, if you draw near unto me, come on, he said it through James, if you draw near unto me, I'll do what? Draw near unto you. How many think God needs to make a whole lot more moves than he already has? I think he's gotten close enough. I think he went deep enough and back up again to take care of the responsibility coming to us to move toward him. Come on, he made the chess move. We got to respond. And we keep doing that. See, the path of the just is supposed to be like the rising of the sun. It shines ever brighter into the perfect day. And when we function and operate with the Lord, we can get to the end of our life, this is my goal, to say like Paul did, there waits for me up there a crown. Amen? And guess what? I don't need the clergy to vote me into sainthood. I am born again. I am a saint. Saint Sean. Well, somebody ought to try that on for size with your own name. It's like some people are like, I don't know if we should do that. That's just religious nonsense. Paul wrote letters and he said, to the saints in Philip, Billings, Montana, Faith Family Church, I saint you all. I mean, I can't even do that. God has sainted you. I have my sister-in-law is Catholic. And when we first met, she calls me the Pope of Billings. Like, well, nope. Praise the Lord. Incorruptible seed lives in us. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So you're talking about the children of Israel. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And look at this, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the word of God is the substance of where we teach from. Now, I don't want to go into how deep that could go, because that could go really deep. When you talk about the word of God, you can talk about the word that's written. But when you're talking about the word of God, you're talking about Jesus Christ himself. Okay, so the word became flesh and dwelt among us, correct? So we have two teachers. Now, I want you to hear this all the way out. One teacher is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. They work together, of course. And the other teacher is experience. How many have ever had an experience that taught you something? All right, now listen, hear me all the way out. We have always heard experience is the best teacher. This is not totally true. We can and do learn from our experiences, of course. But experience is not necessarily the best way to learn. There is another school besides the school of hard knocks. It is the school of the Holy Spirit. The primary textbook of this school is the Word of God. Amen. Experience alone is not enough to teach wisdom. Everyone has experiences, but not everyone profits from them. Like when my father-in-law kept putting the paperclip in the electrical outlet over and over. When he was a kid. What happened? Experience was happening. Learning, not so much. That can't be now. That can't be. Ow. But see, people do this in their faith. They're like, last time I exploded on my wife, we fought for 3 weeks. I'm going to try it again and see if we actually work it out. You need something else to help you. Amen? You need something else. You need wisdom from God. You need to be teachable from the word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And that's what brings about that change that you need, that transformation of thinking to where you understand and see it differently now. So I'm going to walk and talk differently. Actually, I'm going to reverse that. I'm going to talk and I will walk differently. Because your tongue is the rudder of your life, according to James, according to the word of God. And so you begin to see things differently. And from that place of seeing it differently, you begin to respond differently. And from that place of responding differently, it's just like planting seed. If you want corn, plant corn. Don't get mad at the tomato bush if you planted a tomato seed. I know that sounds like too simple. It's exactly that way. How many times, and this is where repentance and teachability is such a big deal. If it's not working the way the Lord said it would in his word, there's a reason why. How many in here will easily agree the reason why it's not working is not God's fault? We are the ones that have to change and repent. We are the ones that have to make adjustments. And when we're teachable and pliable, it makes it easier for the Lord to make those adjustments. You know, the Lord doesn't want you to keep hitting your thumb with the hammer. But he won't make you not do it. You know what people do? I've seen this so many times. I watch it. People will hit their thumb over and over again, but they know God's a healer. So they'll pray for healing, but keep hitting their thumb. What's the problem? The problem is not their understanding of healing. The problem is they need to understand they need to quit hitting their thumb. So sometimes, well, many times, and through the enemy tries to bring deception. We're going to see this in Proverbs 1 here in just a little bit. But what happens is we continue to do the same things over and over, expecting different results. That's called insanity. And people say, well, I'm not insane. No, you're not. But you live in a world where Mr. Insane runs the show. And so we need the light of truth to open our eyes. And the Holy Spirit, we have him to empower us to walk out at what we see in the Word. And as we do, we'll get different results. How many like different results? I do. You know, let me just say this. There is no condemnation to you. Everybody in this room can get up and give a laundry list of mistakes they've made. Everybody can. Even the younger kids can do it. What needs to happen is that we continue to make changes, or the word is repentance, but we make those adjustments to where we're lining up with who Christ is in us and following the truth that has been implanted in us. And out of that comes different results. We're teachable. We're apt and willing to learn. We're pliable. So experience is not enough to teach wisdom. Everyone has experiences, but not everyone profits from them. It is the word of God we use in the experiences of life which actually teaches us wisdom. Come on, because you're going to get the right perspective. The word is like a nail, and experience is like a hammer, driving the nail home. The harder the experience, the more we should lean on the word, and the more wisdom is driven down into our hearts and minds. One day it becomes an inseparable part of us. So in other words, if you're in a difficult situation, how many know the scripture promises, Paul talked about this, that with the temptation they'll be provided what? You know, everybody likes or knows the temptation part, but we need to focus on the way of escape. How many have ever done those escape room things? We've done them a couple of times. What, like two or three times? I don't know. Anyway, we saved you from nuclear annihilation on the last one, so you're welcome. But they give you, there are... The answers are all in the room that you're in to move on. S- Stay in the room. Amen? Your understanding, your answers. And listen, in the one we went to, thankfully, we had like unlimited help. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, we'd all be gone because the nuclear, yeah. Anyway, there was unlimited help. How many know that with the Lord, you have unlimited help? God said this in James to us by the Holy Spirit. He said, ask wisdom. The Lord's not going to upbraid you. In other words, he's not going to get down where you are and go, seriously? I told you this 500 times. He'll just go, here it is again. Aren't you thankful the Lord's that way? Yeah. Because he's got to be, you know, sometimes I feel like, Lord, and he's like, I'm dealing with all of you. Just relax. That's a good point, Lord. You bring out a good point there. In other words, even in frustrating situations with people, the Lord's dealing with the whole planet. And we have his patience inside of us. So what do I know? I know I need to exercise more the patience that I have from him. Amen? All right. So let's look at this. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, and this is where we'll wrap up this morning. Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm going to read, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in reverse. So I'm going to start in verse 7 and then I'll go back to verse 1. And this is our golden text, I guess, for the script, for the teaching. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning. So if you're going to be teachable, you have to have reverence for the Lord. Amen. You have to have that place where you are bowed down in your heart to him as your Lord, as your Savior. Not just your Savior, but your King, your ruler. He decides what you do, when you do, how you do, where you do, what you do. He decides who you marry. Amen or oh me, one or the other. Come on, listen to me. Even with your kids, you love your kids. I heard a minister say this years ago, and I thought, man, that's so good. You love your kids. They can't just do anything they want to, though. You tell them they're smart. You tell them that they're gifted. You tell them that God loves them. You tell them that God has a great plan for them. But you know this as well as I do, that for every person in here that is a born-again believer, you know that the Lord planned your life long before you ever got here. So it's your responsibility not just to teach your kids they can do whatever they want or nothing's impossible, but to come to the reality of you can do anything that God has empowered you and graced you to do. Because I know a lot of people that are doing things and God never told them to do it. And they're in the place of what I call Christian frustration. When it comes to being teachable, there will always be a connection to and a necessity for repentance every time. Why? Because as you did not just pull out of your driveway this morning and drive on a straight line to church. If you did, your neighbor's yards don't look very good. You made adjustments the whole way to get here. Well, in the spirit, it's the same way. You have to make adjustments to stay on the path. Because how many know there's many voices in the earth that are trying to get you to go different directions? And as understanding and truth comes, then revelation comes. And when you repent or you make adjustments and you follow the Lord in those things, then his hand continues to be above you. Do you know God's protection never leaves you, but you can leave it? Yep. Amen. Now people say, well, I don't like that word. Well, then stay in misery. Come on. Is that too much? I got like a grunt on that one. I youth pastored for 6 years. None of you move me. I've stared in the face of, no, I'm just kidding. If you want out, you have to get the Lord's perspective. Right? My thumb still hurts. Stop hitting it. Come on. Well, that's uncomfortable. Welcome to my prayer closet. And yours too, at times, right? I just want the Lord to cuddle me. You know, there comes a point, and it's now for me, where my kids, I can't just wrap them up in a little blanket and hold them like this. Now, the only one I would attempt to do it with would be my son, and that's just to tease him. In other words, the Lord knows the necessity for us to mature in Him. And He's not asking for that maturity and that development on our part in working with us for that to come about out of wanting to hurt our feelings or take away our fun or just disrupt our lives. He's doing it because He understands what the fruit of maturity produces in your individual life and then in the world that He's placed you in. So growing spiritually is a huge deal. Paul talked about the necessity of certain churches that he planted. He said, I wanted to preach to you something more, but you didn't even develop in the last thing that I gave you. And sometimes people are like, I want to be way out there. That's the vision God showed me in a dream. He showed me in a vision. This is what I'm supposed to be. But how come I'm not getting there? Because there's no social promotion in the kingdom of God. So what do you mean by that? You can be a full-grown adult in a first grader's desk. Listen to me. And you can stay there until you leave the planet. And you'll be crabby. Come on, crabby Christian. Have you ever met crabby Christian? Everybody's been crabby Christian at one point, right? You say, why are they so upset? Look how small that desk is and how big they are. You'd be upset too if you couldn't feel your feet. I'm glad we can laugh about this. Because but what is the Lord saying? I have your best interest at heart here. Come on. How many have ever, you had a parent who really, it was corrected you correctly, disciplined you correctly, and you saw the fruit of it after you obeyed? Or a boss, a good boss. You know what I mean? And you saw the, and afterwards you're like, man, I didn't understand it at the beginning, but I'm glad I listened right there and did what I was told. And that's exactly what the Lord's doing. You need to make adjustments. You need to make adjustments. God's not going to hover over you and make every decision for you. He wants fellowship and relationship. And out of that, He'll help you make every decision. And out of that, you'll see the fruits of righteousness produced in your life. And you'll keep moving forward and keep growing and keep developing. And what looked like was impossible, and I didn't even get to it, but we're done. But we'll get to it. What looked like impossible, all of a sudden it'll be like, well, that wasn't so bad. How many of you experienced that with the Lord before? You're not done experiencing it. There's more. There's depths of God that we haven't even come close to touching yet, that were open to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God desires, guys, to do something significant in the world that He has us in Billings, Montana. I don't know how far the reach is. That's not for me to decide right now. What's for me to decide is, am I going to obey God where I'm at? Are you going to obey God where you're at? And individually in the covenant, and then corporately in the covenant as the body of Christ comes together, as we move forward, the Lord will take us and let us experience and walk in deeper realms of Him and manifestation of Him than we've ever known before. See, Christianity, you don't serve a God who runs out of amazing for you. You may be just very blessed in your marriage, but God can take it to a level of blessing you've never known. There's a level of understanding and unity and oneness in marriage that you haven't seen yet. But as you and your spouse get closer to the Lord, whoo, glory to God. How many experienced that before? Where you got two passionate people going after God, your marriage just gets so much more gooder. Every year, until what the Lord desires is what? The two become, see, that's what you're supposed to be. You and Jesus are supposed to be. People see you, they go, what do you got? And you say, how much time you got? Well, how come your eyes are like that? It's the anointing. It's the glory of God. Well, how come your hair glows? It's my shampoo. Would you stand, please? No, you're supposed to see, we talked about this in the parable of the talents. Everything that God's given you is supposed to be saturated with the anointing. So as you sit in your truck or your car and you sit in that seat, the resurrection of Christ is sitting there. Was the anointing in Jesus' clothes? Come on. I'm quoting scripture. Was the power of God manifested out past into Peter's shadow? Well, I haven't seen that yet. Then we have goals to attain to. Come on, get a vision list. Lord, I'll quit seeking you on this and exercising my faith when my shadow starts healing people. Some people, that just flips their head. You know, you can feel it. It's like, well, I don't know if that's biblical. Well, I can take you to it in the scripture. Now, it may not be denominational, but it is biblical. It's deliverance. Amen? Come on, how many think you could go further? Let's just consecrate ourselves right now to the Lord. Father, we consecrate ourselves to you, Lord. Lord, help us be teachable. Help us see. Lord, we soften our hearts to you. Lord, we soften our hearts to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we commit. We're born again, Father. We have your nature within us, but we commit to be even more teachable. Reveal to us even greater, as you had the Spirit of God pray through the Apostle Paul, the height, the depth, the breadth, the width, and the length of your love. Lord, open our eyes to see what took place in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is resident within us right now. Help us see it. We are open to you. As we read your word, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Open our eyes to see. Take our imaginations and show us the images that you have already accomplished for us in the resurrection. And Lord, we will be hearers, meditators, receivers of your word. We'll not be hard or unteachable, and we'll be doers of your word as well. As you lead us and guide us into all truth, we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you either don't know the Lord or you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I'd like to give you that opportunity just as a declaration of your faith. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you need to recommit to the Lord, I just ask you to slip up your hand. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Ushers, if you'd look, just in case, in the back, because I can't always see. Thank you, Lord. I think everybody's born again here. Now, if you go ahead and lift your head, your eyes, open your eyes. If you need prayer for anything after we dismiss, Rick and Luann will be up here, and Heidi and I will be up here. We'd love to pray with you if you need healing in your body. If you just need the prayer of agreement for something, please come. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, come. We'll help you. We'll help you get filled with the Holy Spirit. This Wednesday, I'm going to start a teaching series on the believer's authority, on the authority of the believer. You know, each step that we've taken in this, we've sought the Lord, and we always are making adjustments, because when you start with nothing and then you keep moving up as God increases you, you just have to make adjustments the whole way. And I really felt this significantly about this subject, that The purpose of the fivefold ministry gifts as we know them is to develop you to do the work of the ministry. Now, for years, and I know it's changing, but for years, people have had they're in the ministry, they do it mentality, or even whether it be from the pulpit to the congregation or from the congregation to the pulpit, it doesn't matter. But that mentality was there. But if you understand the gifts of the Spirit, my gifting is to help you do your work. That's the purpose. It's why I'm anointed to do what I do. It's why I can say things in such a way that you, and it's not me saying, it's the Holy Spirit through the gifting. You understand that? It's a grace. But I'll say it in such a way and you'll go, oh, I get it. Why is that? It's because I'm anointed to do that. But you're anointed to do something too. My job is to help you see it, come alongside you, use my faith with you, and then watch you go out and bear fruit. Amen. That's the purpose. And everybody has different parts in the body. I don't have time to go into all that. But initially, how about understanding your authority in Christ? And as we do, see, one preacher, one whatever you want to call it, person that's called in the kingdom is not called to do all the transformation in the city. He calls the body of Christ. Everybody has their portion in the body, but you are called to use your faith, not only for your own, but for the person that you come in contact with. And as you develop in your faith, you grow in your faith, the sphere of influence that the Lord gives you by His grace increases. Amen? And it's never too late. I love this about God. You know, Smith Wigglesworth started in ministry. You know how old he was? 53 or 50, somewhere in there. He died at 86. Have you ever heard a story about Smith Wigglesworth and been in awe? You say, well, I'm younger than 53. Then get after it. I'm older than 53. Then get after it. Amen. Don't let this world hold you back. Use your faith. Well, it's difficult. Well, anything worthwhile has a fight to it. Amen? You could go out with a big explosion, no matter how many years you got left. I had somebody at Rhema when I was going to Rhema in my second year. She graduated with us. She went to Bible school at 93. Some people go, that's too late. Well, I'd rather go out with my boots on. Right? I certainly wouldn't want to cross over with no faith being exercised. Right? Amen. So I'm going to start that on the Believer's Authority Wednesday night, 7 p.m. God bless you guys. Have a great week. What's that? Oh, ladies, get your tickets for the glorious. God bless you guys. If you need prayer, please come.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.